Dear friends, we want to this evening come to this portion from Hebrews chapter 11 and to think upon another aspect of faith. We have been looking in a very meditative way, not a deep way, but in a devotional way, of these heroes of faith that are described and the way that they demonstrate their faith in the scriptures and in their lives. We have seen about the way Abel worship God by faith. We saw how Enoch walked with God by faith. We have seen how Noah, he worked for the Lord by faith. And here this evening we want to think about the obedience of faith. How Abraham by faith obeyed the Lord. So another aspect of faith is one of obedience. And the first really great character of whom we read in the Bible is Abraham himself. So wide and comprehensive was the range of his faith, and he wasn't always of great faith. We see him grow in his faith. We did a whole series of around 30 messages on the life of Abraham, and we saw that there are times that his faith failed. But here it is something that is focused on about his faith that is very helpful for us to consider. But here is a man who is called the father of all that believe in Romans 4 and verse 11. He's the father of all that believe. He's talking about their savingly. He believed in the God of the covenant and the promises of God in the fulfillment of it would be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Hebrews 11, one verse only is given to the biography of Abel. There is one verse for Enoch and Noah, but to Abraham we have 12 verses that are given, which summarize some 14 chapters in the book of Genesis. Abraham lived his midway between Adam and Christ, and the Bible is full of references to this great servant of the Lord, and it is important to emphasize that. The fact that Abraham really did live. There are people, and there would be some commentaries that would put a question mark over this fact, but and they say he's a fictitious character. Yet, to dispel all the doubts that was Abraham a real man, well, our Lord Jesus Christ refers to him as a real man. He says in John chapter 8 and verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day," it says. "And he saw it and was glad." You see, Christianity is based on facts, not fiction. It's based on reality, so what has happened. And that's what the disciples went about preaching, was factual things concerning Christ and his teaching. And our Lord Jesus Christ referred to Abraham as a true man of history. And we even know from modern archaeology how that has also wonderfully has confirmed the historicity of these early chapters of the Bible and has put to silence even the secularists and even those people who don't believe the Bible, but it has silenced them, because now we know that there was such a thing as a place called Chaldea. And there were these people who were very sophisticated people in Chaldea, who were idolaters and they were unbelievers. They worshipped many false gods, and including the sun and the moon and the stars. There were always people around this world who were not believers in the true God, but they worshipped something. They lived lives that were degraded and morally bad in that land of Chaldea. But one day, by the grace of God, Abraham, who lived in that city of Ur of the Chaldees, heard God speaking to him. God revealed himself. And that's still true to this day. Any sinner, if they are to be saved, God has to reveal himself to them. That's how. It's not by their searching that they will find out God, but it's by the Lord revealing himself to them. And what we find in Genesis chapter 12, that passage that we read together, the Lord spoke to him. Now, we are not told exactly how. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Well, how did he do that? We are not told about the details of it, the very means by which God used, but he heard the voice of God. And the point is this, the thing that we shouldn't forget and miss is that he obeyed God. He trusted the Lord and obeyed God. After the Lord finished speaking, he did something immediately afterwards. And so what you find in Genesis 12 and verse 4, it says, so Abram departed. So he heard the Lord commanding him. He departed. He did something about it. He actually believed the Lord. Even this fact of him departing shows this to be the case. And so in Hebrews 11 and verses 8 through to 10, we have this snippet of the account. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So this was an act of faith. He trusted in the Lord. He knew quite definitely that God had spoken to him. And so he went out not knowing whither he went. That was the obedience of faith. And you and I, my dear friends, we have the Word of God speaking to us. What should be our response? Obedience of faith. Not that we fully understand, not that we fully know the consequences and what will happen to us if we fully obeyed the Word of God, but one aspect of faith is this, obedience. So when we do not obey, it means that we don't really believe the Lord in that capacity, in that way, in what he says. We are neglecting the matter of faith and we have given to ourselves unbelief. We have taken on unbelief. So there are five aspects of obedience of faith that illustrates in this particular period of Abraham's life. It illustrates what faith is that I want to speak to you about this evening. So the first point out of those five points, one is this. Abraham's obedience was prompt. They're all simple things. There are things that you already know. Abraham's obedience was prompt obedience. He didn't drag his feet. So this is clearly brought by a comparison of Genesis 12, verse 1 and verse 4, and then verse 8 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. It says in Genesis 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And then verse 4, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, it says. And similarly, in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. When he heard it, he obeyed. So there is this prompt response. So how God spoke to him, we don't know. But that he did speak, we are quite sure, and directly Abraham heard his command, and in faith he obeyed. His obedience was prompt. And so, dear friends, when God speaks to us, one aspect of our faith, if we really are true believers in the Lord, and if our faith is operating, there is this aspect of it will be also be seen by us. And when God speaks to us, it is sometimes very difficult to explain how of it. That he has spoken to us, we are sure about it. The Lord, as you read the scriptures, there are times that he brings the word of God and impresses it upon your heart. And you know that this is a word from God to you that day about a certain fact, about a certain point when you are hearing it preached and something goes deep within your heart and you know this is for you, not for someone else. What should be your response? we ought to promptly obey the Lord, obey His voice. You have many examples in the New Testament as well about prompt obedience to the Word of God. But is God speaking to you at different times, even in what you have heard recently, in what you have read in the Word of God recently, in something that you have spoken of and you, in certain circumstances you've seen the hand of God is in this. God is speaking to me. But have we been dragging our feet and saying, well, things may pass away. It will work itself out at last. And you ignore maybe something the Lord has said to you. Here is an aspect of faith, and the Lord is saying, be prompt in your obedience. The second thing is this. Abraham's obedience was practical. It was practical. Faith is a very practical thing. It is a very practical thing. When we are told in verse 4 of chapter 12 of Genesis, that when God spoke to him, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And you see, Abraham's faith was not a hazy, vague belief. It was active. It did something. It didn't just say, yes, I believe that. I know God is speaking to me. I know He wants me to go from this place to that place. I know about all of these things. And he didn't start to simply write it all out or give talks about it. God spoke to me. Did you know? God spoke. His belief was not a vague belief. It wasn't a talk belief. It was active belief. And so that is what the Hebrews tell us of this active faith. It was a very, very practical thing. Faith obeys God by launching out upon His promises and by doing His bidding without questions. Yes, we are told that he did not know where he was going. But if, dear friends, faith does not work, it is theoretical faith. It will not really, when it is tested by fire, when it is tested by challenges in your life, it will vanish away. It is, if it is only an abstract, a mental, academic, a mere feeling kind of faith. No, a true faith does something. And James, we have seen, James says that faith without works is dead. Abraham's faith did work. It did walk. And what an upheaval this meant in his life. His faith had to do a lot of packing up. His faith had to pack up all the boxes and get all the family together and talk about the matter and say, we need to get on now with the task. God has said we have to move. And so he called Lot as well, and he got all of his family members together and began to do something about these things. Saying goodbye to all of his friends, and they're moving out to do God's will. So it is very practical. So in the midst of all of those things, he could say, I am walking by faith in this. I am packing all these boxes by faith because God has called me. Has God spoken to you? And if so, some very practical action must demonstrate your faith in Him. You can't say just, yes, God has spoken to me and nothing happens. If nothing happens, it means that the faith is, it needs to be resuscitated. It's not, nothing is happening. The faith is not really alive. The faith is not working. Faith always does something. So how do we demonstrate our faith? You must obey the Lord in whatever He says. So that is another point. The obedience was practical. Faith of Abraham was very practical. We could say the same thing for all of these people. All of their faith was very practical. The third thing that we notice is this. Abraham's faith was progressive. Abraham's faith was progressive. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, This was only the first step of faith. But one step of faith will always lead to another step of faith. The Lord is the one then guides us as we are taking these steps. The Lord guides us. Doesn't the psalmist say to us in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It means that the Lord helps them to guide the direction of it and the steps of it, the very progression of it. It is ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. So it is the way that God delights in. Now, my dear friends, the ways of the Lord are not oftentimes easy ways. They're often hard ways, difficult ways. But the Lord never sends us in a certain way. It doesn't send us in a hard way that is filled with bitterness and filled with heartbreaks and filled with tears. It doesn't send us down those paths without Him knowing that this is going to do us good. This is for our good. This is something that is going to form Jesus Christ in you. So He has sent you down a certain path of hardship, certain things of your past that there are still with you today. Certain relationships, certain situations. And you ask yourself, but it is so painful. Well, through it all, you have sought the Lord more. You have read the scriptures more. You have applied the scriptures. You have had more fellowship with the Lord's people. You've asked for prayer more. So many other things that has happened to you through this hard way. And so, dear friends, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not by the devil. If you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are putting His word first, whatever path you go, and however hard it is ordered by the Lord, not by the devil. And so, we give too much credit to the devil. We have to give credit to God. Say, even maybe in certain situations, God may use the devil to come and to be a painful instrument in our lives. But even the devil is under God's control and God's hand. And we see that in Job's life. Wasn't it the Lord's will? It was the Lord's will. And yet, the devil was used by God in the way he was used. But what I was going to say, going back to what we were talking about, was the fact that Abraham's obedience was progressive. And you see this in the expressions that are used in Genesis 12. That's why we read it, because it gives us an illustration of what we are talking about from Hebrews. For example, what we see is the progressiveness of Abraham's faith in the stages of his walk. So in verse 4 it says of Genesis 12, so Abram started to go. Verse 5, and then it says this, Abram went forth. There's more to it. He goes out now. Not just departing, but now he's going out. Verse 6, it says, and Abram passed through the land. So there's more work. He's not just going out, but now he's passing through. Verse 8, it says, and he removed from them. So the part of this progression is removing from. He leaves a place, goes somewhere else. So there's this step by step, moving away, moving from the place that he should not be, the place of idolatry, is moving towards the land that the Lord has given him as an inheritance. Verse 9, it says, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So it carried on. He carried on. He journeyed on, going on still toward the south. God's desire is that the principle of faith should operate throughout every part of our lives. We could say we are journeying on, going on towards our inheritance as well. And it's a step at a time. It's not a race. in that sense. It is not we are not running, we are walking. We are making progress. We are not sitting. We are not simply watching. But we are walking, making progress. And sadly, there are times in our life that we backslide. Jeremiah speaks about the backslidings of Israel. And that's a sad thing. It's a painful experience. And it does happen to all of God's children at different times. And yet the Lord brings us back up. And by His grace, He restores us by His grace so that we might be making progress in faith. We might be walking in faith. And in it, He wants us to trust Him every step of the way. Not only for spiritual needs, but also for our temporal needs. That's why this progression of faith, the Lord says, you have to depend on me for everything. It's not just that your spiritual needs that needs to be met, but your daily food, your daily practical needs, you have to depend on me. And so our Lord Jesus Christ was emphasizing these things. And He said this in Matthew 7 and verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? So in this progression, there's a lot of asking going on. There's a lot of prayer books written. If you write your prayers in a book, as I do, to make a list. Oftentimes, my problem is I forget things. And so I need to write them down. But these books are written. These prayers are offered up on this journeying through this land, in this world. And we ask the Lord, Lord, help me today. Lord, as I take a step today, I don't know what I will face today, but I need Thee every step. I need the Spirit's help. That's what I need. And the thing that, as I was thinking about yesterday, of the need to walk by faith, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the power of the flesh. That is part of the reason why we give up in certain things, or we become so tired and ineffective, because we are doing it in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ said, even in this walk that you have, He said to the disciples, He said in Luke 11 and verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So He says, in this life, I'm going to give you good gifts. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. But I need you to ask me for Him. He is to be sought after. And so that is part of this journey, part of this walking before the Lord, is to be asking God for things. We are making progress in the Christian life. That's what we are, by His grace. And then fourthly, Abraham's obedience was, I would say, peculiar. Going by the P's, it was prompt, it was progressive, it is peculiar. By all human standards, it was a very strange thing that Abraham did. You imagine that. You be in the land of Ur. You think about it. You think about today. Some family member just picks up everything, all of their belonging, gathers his family together, leaves his home, leaves his family, leaves his friends, goes off to somewhere that he doesn't know where he's going. To an unknown destination. I don't know where this ticket will lead me. And we might think, well, this is not right. This is not wise. This is very foolish. And this is what this world says to us Christians. So this religion, This much learning has made you mad. This learning about Jesus Christ has made you mad. So the non-Christian says to you, young men and women, following these superstitious beliefs, That's not according to science. That's not according to what we believe today. Things have moved on now. We are modern people. We don't believe things that were done and said 2,000, 3,000 years ago. We should put these things to one side. Why has that fellow given up his job? Why has that person given up things and is moving out somewhere else and saying, well, the Lord has called me to go and preach the word of God, to go and bear witness of him, to go and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why has that girl who has just become a Christian given up her unconverted fiancé and unconverted boyfriend or whatever? What is that fellow doing? Wasting his time as a missionary. I call it foolish, they would say. Why is that woman wasting her training and her degree and now is a mother and a homemaker? That's just foolish. But is it foolish according to the word of God? No. Not if God has spoken. And if faith is obeying, it may be very peculiar, very strange in the eyes of the world, but it is very pleasing in the eyes of God. In Matthew 5, our Lord Jesus Christ says, in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is happy are they. And God is happy with them. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they, are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What they say is not true. They claim certain things that you're foolish and you're wrong, but it's falsely. It's not true. This is in that situation, you should rejoice. You should be glad and be exceeding glad. Not just glad, but exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So you are going after these other peculiar people. The Lord Jesus, or the Lord calls them a peculiar people. That is a different kind of peculiar than what we are talking about. It means a special, precious to him. But my friends, faith makes us a peculiar people, a strange people. And it makes us to be strangers in this world. That we are not really here to simply establish ourselves. But in all the time that we have, we are making an impact. We are seeking to live for the Lord. We are seeking to bear witness of the Savior. But we are not staying. And so, don't be surprised if you walk by faith to be called peculiar. Just make sure it is walking by faith. Some people, they just like to be different and to go against all the everything that they see just because of that they have that kind of a nature. But make sure it is because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're obeying faithfully the word of God. And finally, Abraham's faith was productive, or Abraham's obedience of faith was productive. So by simply hearing God's voice and doing his will, Abraham produced something for the glory of God and for the blessing of millions. It affected the world. It affected the world around him. It wasn't just enough for him, but it was enough for the world. This is what we read in Genesis 12 and verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And again, the Lord says in Genesis 22 and verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice, the Lord says. So here we learn that God wonderfully multiplied multiplies our simple act of faith and obedience. The Lord blesses that. The Lord glorifies himself in that and multiplies that. In Genesis 26, verses 2 through to 5, the Lord then comes and rehearses this whole event of obedience of Abraham to Isaac and says, this is what I have done. This is what I promised. And Abraham obeyed and trusted in me and did what I said to him. And in conclusion, let me read to you from Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 to 28. We read this. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. The Lord emphasizes here, there is a blessing involved. There is a productivity that is achieved by obeying Him, by trusting in Him and living according to it. But also there is a curse involved with disobedience, with lack of faith, with unbelief. There is always a curse involved with that. Let us pray, dear friends, that we may have grace to hear God's voice as we read it, that God would speak to us. But also, as we hear it, as we read it, as it penetrates deep in our hearts, that we would always do His will. That our will would be in towards God's will, not against it. That we would obey Him promptly. That our faith would be a practical faith. It will show itself. And that we may not mind if others think that our actions are peculiar and that we are a strange people. Let us also believe that God will make our obedience productive. You may think, this is not achieving anything. This is not going anywhere. My being faithful to the Lord, it just makes me to look strange in front of my family and other people. You don't know what God is doing. You don't know what God is weaving in all of these things and showing His glory, the influence, the example that your faith is real. You're not a fair weather Christian. You're not believing these things when all is going well for you. But when all people are against you, you still are trusting and going forward. In this day and age that we are living in, dear friends, people are looking for people who are of solid faith, who really believe and live out what they believe and what they claim to believe. Let us also believe, then God will make us a productive people and use the faith and our obedience to His glory and to the blessing of many. Amen.